We're getting there. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Borga.
Present.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Here.
Mrs. Questenberry.
Here.
Mr. Whitman.
Here.
Mr. Begany.
Here.
I did the same thing at Eastland this week. Same thing.
It's nice to know that we didn't leave in between meetings. Item point 2.01, approval of the December 18th regular Board of Education meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Questenberry. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Borga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed, or agenda approval passed. Tonight's 3.01, the approval of this evening's agenda, January 15th, Board of Education meeting. Mr. Superintendent, are there any changes, additions, deletions?
A few adjustments to the area of the performance bonus and a slight wording adjustment on one of the business items.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Borga. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Borga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. Item 4.01, board member recognition.
In celebration of School Board Recognition Month, one, I want to say that your job is a tireless one that constantly requires your time. Time outside of board meetings, obviously. We spend a lot of time together. For folks who don't know, I talk to these fine individuals, some of them more than once a week. We spend a lot of time on the phone, in person. And the time they put into this work is not something that's strictly based on a board meeting. They do a lot of work behind the scenes that folks don't even know. And they set the course for our district. I am extremely pleased to be working with them and carrying forward our vision and moving in the direction that we want to go. Without having a united front and a group of individuals who are very able to scrutinize what the work that we're doing from a very positive and helpful perspective, we would not be able to make the progress we're making. I also enjoy the fact we have divergent opinions and views that come to the table. It's important that we're able to sift through those and hear from different perspectives in order to carry through something in the most productive way possible. So I'm very pleased, first of all, personally, to work with you. I want to thank you for the opportunity to work with you as well. On behalf of our district, our students, our staff, our administration, our parents, our community, I want to give you a small little token of our esteem in addition to the candied nuts. That's not symbolic. We want to provide you with some certificates to recognize your work and thank you for all the tireless work you put in and the time dedication you've provided to Reynoldsburg City Schools. I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You kind of spoiled some of this, Ms. Dunlap, because you already put one of these on Facebook before. It's okay, though. It's a similar certificate. Certificate of appreciation. This certificate is presented to board member's name. In sincere appreciation for exemplary leadership and service to public schools for School Board Recognition Month, January 2019, signed by John Halakius, President of Ohio School Board Association, and Richard Lewis, Chief Executive Officer of the Ohio School Boards Association. I really do thank you sincerely, and I appreciate the opportunity to work with you.
Thank you.
And for the record, I only spoiled it because Eastland Fairfield's board meeting was first.
Get his permission before you post them.
That was beautiful. And I do appreciate the candied nuts.
And it may be a little symbolic.
You're twice the board member we are.
Thank you for that opportunity.
Thank you. I won't speak. I'm sure everyone will have a comment, but like I said, it is an honor to be up here to represent the values and views of the entire community. And we do as good a job as we can, and we are always willing to listen and make the changes that need to be. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I have in my general comments, I'll make some things then. Thank you.
All right. Moving on then to item 5.01, move to an executive session. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman, seconded by Ms. Dunlap. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. We'll be in executive session, and there will hopefully be action afterwards. Start your clocks. All right. Let the record state that we have returned from executive session at 7 p.m. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga?
Present.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Here.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Here.
Mr. Whitman?
Here.
Mr. Begany?
Here. Moving on to items of the board. Item 6.01, approval of the RSSA negotiated agreement. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Seconded by Mr. Barga. Any discussion?
Yes.
Someone care to offer that?
I want to thank the RSSA for negotiating with us in good faith and practicing a process that really gave us an opportunity to do some things for the district to move us forward in a number of different ways. It was a pleasure to work with them in that regard. I want to say publicly, I know it seemed as though this was a long, protracted process, and perhaps in terms of the calendar, perhaps, but keeping in mind, this actually took us 4 days to complete, which I think is quite an accomplishment. We made some strides in a number of different ways, and we're excited to present this tonight for consideration and hopefully approval.
I really, looking at this item, when you look at negotiations, often people come away with a mixture of uneasiness, upsetness, but everyone kind of shaking their head, but happy with it. That's usually how you find a compromise. When it comes to this contract, I actually think every side is winning exceptionally well. There is an exchange of short-term for long-term, but the reality is this contract is an extremely good contract for both the RSSA in terms of meeting what they seem to demand and what they wanted, and it's also very good in setting up the board for our long-term security and some projects that we have apparently been working on for quite some time. It really is a win-win. I do appreciate the work that the RSSA members did. The work that Member Whitman and the other members of the administration did on this. It was absolutely good. And I really do think this is a good deal for the district. If anyone wishes to talk about the various numbers that end up getting saved, I know that our treasurer, Ms. Miller, has a wonderful breakdown of everything. She can go into detail. She can talk about the savings for the district and the stability. And I think most of the members have the same information, are prepared as well if anyone's interested.
Lastly, I do want to thank Mr. Barger and Mr. Whitman for serving on that committee. And we had quite a time going through that process. It was great to sit down and have those conversations. The side conversations are far more entertaining than the actual negotiation. But thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right. Let's get this show on the road. Madam Treasurer, shall we make a motion to get this approved here?
You have a first and second, so we'll call the roll. Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Absolutely.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. We do have an agreement with the RSSA. Congratulations to all. Item 6.02, board members may speak on different topics at this time. We will start off with Mr. Barga this evening.
I actually said everything I wanted to say about just a few minutes ago about the previous item.
All right. Thank you very much. Not going to give you another chance.
Good.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Just wanted to say thank you all for coming out tonight, and Happy New Year to everyone, a little belated. 2018 went out with a bang. Eastland Fairfield Performing Arts had a work share on December 21st, got to see a number of the actors, a number of the dancers, and I even learned how to punch someone on stage and make it look very believable. So... the Regifters student-led production through Encore right before the winter break. That was wonderful. If you got a chance to see that, again, because it was student-led, actors, producers, everyone involved, and it was a very funny and timely production. Another congratulations in order to the City of Reynoldsburg for the adoption of their first ever comprehensive development plan. That was last night. I served on the steering committee for that. That was an incredible experience. especially if you get a chance to peruse through a rather lengthy document. But there's some great things in store for the city of Reynoldsburg with that document. It's a roadmap. It's a game plan that we didn't have in that kind of detail before. It's very forward-thinking, but also that plan doesn't do any good if it sits on a shelf. And so it is my hope that we have the leadership to take that plan and implement it. There is quite a bit of change that does require people to embrace, but change is good, and I look forward to seeing that come to fruition. I'm saying this a little early, too. Thank you, President Begney, for bringing our proclamation a little bit later on in the agenda before the board, recognizing Public Education Week. Being part of this, a board, a district, is just an amazing experience. I always talk about how it's my shot in the arm to go in and see the students and spend time with the students. That's what keeps me going. But it's also, as Superintendent Brown talked about, a lot of behind-the-scenes work by a lot of people that really make this district the wonderful district that it is. You know, it's our city, it's our partners, it's our staff, it's our students, it's this board, it's administration, it's everyone. And I personally welcome all children, those are the children, everyone, that I am responsible for. And I thank you all for letting me be a part of that world. Looking forward to 2019. I'm looking forward to seeing our kids succeed, and not only succeed in their education, but their love of learning. I'm looking forward to the 9X. I'm looking forward to seeing our portrait of a Reynoldsburg graduate. I'm looking forward to comprehensive mailing of our district profile. I'm sorry. First the certificate, now this. I'm looking forward to addressing mental health with our students, with new programming. That one hits very close to home, and I really appreciate the district spending some time and some energy in that area. I'm looking forward to some brick-and-mortar improvements within our district. I'm looking forward to our kids growing academically. I'm looking forward to a education foundation that Margaret Mary Leslie and myself are working on, and we are getting very, very close to launching. So, Happy New Year.
Thank you, Mrs. Dunlap. Mr. Whitman.
Happy New Year, everyone. And although they're gone, I just want to say thank you to the choir for singing for us earlier. That was a quite a pleasant surprise,
yes.
and it sounded great. I just wanted to say I'm really looking forward to the 9X impact as well. Ever since I got on the board, every year we've been trying to figure out, oh, no, what are we going to do about the high school next year, and trying to solve something quickly, but try to do something long term. And last year, when Mr. Superintendent had the put out this idea in the outcomes meeting, something that both addressed the population balances in the different academies and people choosing them for the wrong reasons. And also tackling this other problem about students just not being sufficiently prepared for high school, and addressing both of them into this one big plan. And furthermore, it's not a plan that we tried to do last September, but we're taking this whole school year to do it. It's shaping up, like I thought it would be. It's a continual thing. We keep seeing, bits and pieces as pieces fall into place, and I'm liking what I'm seeing, and I hope that you continue to get it all put into place, including some of the infrastructure that we're going to talk about a little bit later. But I like that we're taking a whole year to do this, and it's a whole year for the whole community to kind of see how it's taking shape before it gets started in fall. Then a note on the quality profile. So I was talking with a teacher a little while ago who was filling out a grant application and was looking for some demographic information for the district, and because I was in the room, the teacher asked me, and I said, "Oh, well, let me just check the website here," and I poked around, and I didn't see it, and finally, when I did just an ordinary Google search for what I needed, then I found a letter from Mr. Superintendent in the superintendent's corner, and then there was a link to the quality profile, and I clicked on that, and was able to send him the direct link, and it was exactly what this teacher needed. But boy, I was thinking, this quality profile, I would like to see that much more visible on the front page. Like, I clicked on the About Us section, figuring, oh, it's got to be here, but it wasn't. So that and the portrait of a graduate, when we get that together, and some other things that really show off the qualities of our district, I'd like those to be just much more visible on the web page. Okay.
All noted.
I went there
all
and
noted.
I clicked and I,
all noted. All good.
Okay. All right. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whitman. Mrs. Quesenberry.
Again, Happy New Year to everybody. It was a bit of a sick end of the year in the Quesenberry household, so we did not get out to many activities. But I am looking forward this year to really getting into schools more often and really embracing everything that is going on in all of the schools. The 9X, it's a different experience for me because I have a grandson who will be moving into that next year. And listening to him and conversations that he's had with friends, he's very excited. So really anxious to see his reactions once he gets into the school and into that ninth grade period experience. And I'll have a great year. So thank you again for coming tonight, and I'm looking forward to a great year.
Thank you. Welcome to a new year. We've got a lot of hopes. We've got a lot of goals, and I know we're all going to work hard for them, and I'm looking forward to it. I think we've got some great things in store. I know I won't be the only one looking forward to the 9X days, and thankfully, because of the way that our calendar will hopefully be, I'll be able to sneak a peek on those opening moments just to see what it all looks like. So I'm looking forward to that. With that, we will now move to committee reports. And by virtue of a coin flip, I believe Ms. Dunlap is up for buildings and grounds this time.
Yes. Mr. Whitman and I have been taking turns. So I apologize. I should have been prepared with my readers. This is way too small.
You just thought I was going to talk longer. I know.
Yeah, it threw me. Yep. Absolutely. So we had our Buildings and Grounds Committee meeting on January 8th, 2019. It was myself and Mr. Whitman, Superintendent Brown, Chris Reed, Dr. Jocelyn Cosgrave, Kim Halley, and Chris Brooks, along with some other folks I'm going to talk about here in a minute. One of the first things, we had a presentation by Jamie Green. I don't know him as James. Who came to present about his Eagle Scout project. This project is for a stationary band director's tower to replace an old and somewhat rickety cherry picker that is currently serves as the band director's stand on the practice field. Jamie Green, who I think I've known since he was a Cub Scout Tiger, will be working with his troop leadership and with Chris Reed to complete this project for the upcoming 2019 season. As a committee, we received detailed drawings, plans, and points of contact in a presentation from Mr. Green, which was very, very thorough. And I've seen a few of these in some of the roles that I used to serve in scout leadership. The new stand will be much safer for Mr. Gibson, our band director. The cost is roughly $5,700, and Mr. Green will be conducting fundraising with his troop and the band to pay for that project. He will also be seeking materials donations. Mr. Reed is working with Mr. Green to look over the plan, secure correct permits, guarantee safety protocols are followed, and oversee the work on our property, including liability, marking utilities, and so on. The stand will be approximately 22 feet high, have three levels, a base, a middle, and a top, with ladders connecting it in between. We look forward to hearing more about this project as it progresses under Mr. Reed's guidance, because this is a very, very aggressive Eagle Scout project from the many that I've seen. Next, we talked about the Livingston campus renovations. Shore Architects and Vicki Newell, who is also here tonight, was at the meeting as well. As we discussed previously, the district has been making plans for some renovations to the Livingston campus. Our HVAC and LED lighting installs have been a huge part of that this year. Now we're poised to make some renovations discussed on previous occasions with some additional changes due to the location of the 9X, as we all heard, on the second floor of Livingston. We discussed some of the renovations, removed columns outside the lunchroom entrance due to some structural problems, a new reception office in the lobby for the 9X freshman experience, the distance learning lab being made into two labs, medical spaces, converting rooms 110, 111, and 114 into science labs, relocating DECA casework to the student dining area, which will actually give them a lot more visibility and hopefully some more customers than the things that they do sell. Removing all lockers on the first and second floor and replacing that with some bench seating for collaboration. New paint in the hallways. Signage at Livingston to denote the location of the 9X. Create some cross-team space on the second floor with roll-up doors for collaboration options with the freshman teams, and we spent quite a bit of time talking about this. Obviously, collaboration and working in teams is a big part of this 9X experience. We had a lot of questions about these roll-up doors that sort of look like garage doors and how they would operate and noise and so on and so forth, and I understand, and I got some pictures. There's some even on a smaller scale over at Summit. We did spend a lot of time. Those will roll up and allow for some larger, more collaborative spaces with the freshman teams. Enclosures in the art room, add a wall to the door in the ELA room, and wood caps on stairwells. Now, Vicki Newell of Shore Architects was present to give us details of the renovations and to present drawings in detail. I've worked with Shore Architects for a long time. I go back to my reporter days when Whitehall used Shore and literally replaced all five of their schools. That's their entire district they replaced. The timeline for this project, in order to mesh with the launch for the 9X freshman experience, is very tight. Unlike our LED or HVAC projects, this work needs to be completed when students are not in school, so that means weekends, that means nights, and that means over the summer. Critical dates for the project, and this was from Shore Architects, by February 4th, all construction documents must be completed and permits submitted. March 1st, a critical start date. July 26th, a critical completion date with time for some punch list completion. August 9th, a final completion date in order to welcome teachers the next week, the very next week, should we approve the calendar tonight, which I'm sure we will. Then students are in the week after that. So in order to make these critical deadlines for the project, we agreed as a committee that we must expedite the timelines and the stipulations for this. We feel the district must declare this project an urgent necessity, which is on the agenda later on tonight for approval. It's recommended that our district use an RFP instead of a bid, and that's a request for proposal. So it's a type of bidding solicitation in which the district announces that funding is available for a particular project, this being said project, and we seek companies to place bids for the project's completion. Chris Reed has assured us that there is money in the budget for this project. This has been cleared through legal, and by following this process, we could gain up to 3 weeks. I told you about that real critical, real tight window that we have. This is something that has to be ready for teachers and for students when they come back in. We're not certain that that would happen if we did not declare urgent necessity. With this type of contract, we do get the best responses, not always the lowest response, but we also get an elevated bidding time. In our discussions with Vicki and Shore Architects, it's been their experience that by declaring urgent necessity, it does not increase the cost of the project, which was very important to me. And as an architect, things work more smoothly if they're able to collaborate with the general contractor closer to the beginning of the project rather than once things have been finalized. There are fewer issues during renovations. This project is used in districts when the timeline is of the essence and could interrupt learning. Now, I'm going to finish up with my the rest of my minutes and my notes, but Vicki Newell is here. To representing Shore Architects, I would suggest that questions be addressed to Chris Reed and to Vicki Newell once I just finish up the rest of the items that we discussed. We continued our discussion surrounding HVAC and that program, I'm sorry, that project, Dynamics Engineering was present with their team to discuss and answer all the questions. As we near the end of the project and move to the next phase, which is maintenance. Very, very important. We discussed two plans, a gold and a silver, actually previously. Spent a little bit more time this meeting talking about the gold, which would provide stem to stern covered coverage with an extension on our energy savings guarantee for another 5 years? A total of 5 years. Okay. So we will be discussing that, I think, maybe one more time before we actually bring that to the full board. We want to look at a cost analysis over the 5 years. We'd like to see what our maintenance costs were the past 5 years prior to this HVAC project. We're all looking to where the funding will come from, and we'll get into that a little bit later. And again, a few more details next month, but we're getting a little bit closer. Maintenance obviously is very, very important on that project. I think we kind of got ourselves into a pickle in the first place. You know, we have this new system, and we have some old things there as well. And this stem to stern package will allow Dynamics to kind of take the lead in fixing their things that they've installed, fixing old things, and keeping this system up and running and lasting much, much longer. We also talked about a few other odds and ends, the possible removal of the remaining modular at Rose Hill. Mr. Barga brought to my attention some young people who have been hanging around there, and that was the reason why we got rid of the one over at Graham Road. He also brought, Mr. Barger brought a trash issue to me, and we're getting that taken care of over at Rose Hill Elementary.
Thank you.
Fence and bleacher repair at Wagner Road Junior High Tennis Courts, I understand, are on order. And big kudos went out, too, for painting lines at both Taylor Road Elementary and at Rose Hill that were well needed for some safety. And that's all I have for the minutes.
I wanted to add a couple of things. So Jamie Green, for those of you who don't know, he's the field commander of the marching band as well as an Eagle Scout candidate. And one thing I learned about the scissor lift that's there right now is that apparently on at least one occasion Mr. Gibson and Mr. Tennant got stuck up there. So,
on accident, I hope.
Yeah. But as for the bids and the urgent necessity there, so some of you may recall from last year we were trying to bid out some improvements and renovations for the Livingston campus, and a lot of them ultimately didn't end up getting done because the request went out late enough that there's only one bid, which was not really sufficient to get it done, and it was like, well, okay, we'll do what we can and go another year, but we have to make it happen now. We have big plans for that campus, and so yes, this urgent necessity here. We need to target particular businesses that that we know are reputable and can do a good job, and that we can make sure that we get someone in here who can who can get this done in time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, with the 9X project, and, you know, we learned last month of this evolution that's constantly, has been constantly changing. And month by month, you know, we heard from Mr. Brooks. Mr. Brooks, I think, is here. You know, even what week by week, you know, things were changing and developing and what have you. And so, you know, that's the situation that we find ourselves in. We've added quite a few renovations with the 9X project to our original list, which did make this, I don't know if I should say, a little bit more complicated. But so I think... would you guys like to entertain a discussion now while it's fresh on our minds rather than wait till later on in the discussion when the resolution comes up?
Are you moving to?
I think.
No, just discussion.
Move it forward? Okay.
No.
Just to have it when it's in the original agenda as of for right now. It shouldn't take us too long to get there.
Okay.
We've already talked, so that's the biggest thing as far as talking to the community.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if there were questions, and so.
Okay. All right. We look forward to hearing more and hopefully asking some questions in just a few minutes. Now moving on to item 6.04, Public Education Week Proclamation. I've submitted this for. Sorry,
there are no other committee reports?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Yeah. I'll just announce that Outcomes Committee meeting January 29th. Where we'll talk about a lot of, as Dr. Cosgrave put, a lot of interrelated things going on about, you know, enrollment and boundaries and a lot of stuff. So January 29th at 5 o'clock.
All right, moving on to item 6.04. This is a proclamation that I will read before the board and hope for its approval. In recognition of Reynoldsburg City Schools Public Education Week for January 20th through 26th, 2019, whereas traditional public school districts in Ohio serve more than 1.8 million students and employ more than 245,000 Ohioans full-time, and whereas all children in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, should have access to the highest quality education possible, and whereas the Reynoldsburg Board of Education recognizes the important role that effective education plays in preparing all students to be successful adults, and whereas quality education is critically important to the economic vitality of Reynoldsburg, Ohio, and whereas public education not only helps diversify our economy, but also enhances the vibrancy of our community, and whereas Reynoldsburg City Schools has many high-quality professionals who are committed to educating our children, and whereas public education is celebrated across the country by millions of students, parents, educators, schools, and organizations to raise awareness of the need for effective public schools. Now, therefore, the Board of Education of Reynoldsburg City Schools hereby recognizes January 20th through 26th, 2019, as Public Education Week in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, and we call this observance to the attention of all of our citizens. I so move that we submit this as an item to be approved by the board. As you know, I'm a big proponent of public education. I believe that there are very few equalizers in society today.
We need a second to discuss.
I was just on a roll, but, you know. Okay, we can take a motion. So, second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Dunlap.
You know, Neil, what it said about Robert's rules not always having to apply.
There we go. Yeah, it's fine. You just got me off my flow. It's all good.
Keep rolling.
Big fan of public education, and I do believe it is the equalizer for our society if it's done well and if it's done effectively. And Reynoldsburg has shown a commitment to make sure that our teachers, our administrators, our staff can do the best job that they possibly can with all of our students, so that way we can make sure that these students are those great adults as we move forward, whether they move on to a career, the military, a trade, or college. So I hope to have everyone's support on this particular issue. If there are any other comments, please.
I do have a motion to amend. To change the comma after highest quality education possible to a semicolon to be consistent with the rest of your listing style. In the second paragraph, every other paragraph in his standard listing style, we have a semicolon and, which is a proper way of listing, except there we have a different one, which again is also a proper way of listing, but I want some consistency.
He beat you to it, Mr. Whitman.
Yeah, I wasn't going to let you take that one.
Second.
You got my Robert's rules.
I considered moving to remove the commas after all the whereases, but I'm not going to do that.
So I have that motion.
I'll second. Madam Treasurer, you want to call the roll for a comma? Semicolon, I mean.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mr. Bagany?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Motion, that part of the motion is passed. Any other comments on the proclamation?
You said it so well, I don't think I could say it any better.
All right. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Bagany?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Motion passed. Semicolons all. Item 7.01, the superintendent may speak on different topics at this time, but apparently most of them were taken by us. So
yes,
take a shot.
But that's a good thing because we can reiterate those things. It'll be tough to follow the comma conversation. I won't attempt to do that. But first of all, Happy New Year. Welcome back for those I haven't been able to see. Obviously, our first board meeting of the year, so I want to welcome everybody back. It's been a fantastic start. The break always gives us a chance to recharge our batteries and give our kids a chance to reset themselves to start the second semester. So we're excited about that. We came back on January 2nd. Our teachers came on that day. We had a very, very successful professional development day that had all sorts of different offerings that we as educators were able to participate with. I was excited to participate in a number of those, and they all align with our potential strategic plan down the road. So I want to highlight a couple of things that I shared with staff when we came back, just so we all have a sense of what that looks like. We talked about what our near future might look like. This year we're working on a number of things. Strategic planning is a big piece of that. We're about to assemble the four subcommittees that will work on the four focus areas that will start very soon. Those areas are student learning, the student experience, communications, and finance. We'll invite some folks in the community to be part of that. So if you get a phone call or an email, we hope that you'll be willing to and excited about participating in that process. As mentioned earlier, we are crafting what would be considered a portrait of a Reynoldsburg graduate. That's some work we're doing in conjunction with Battelle for Kids. We have a group of our administrators and teachers who are working on that venture. And this will be something that doesn't just look like a high school thing. We know we need to build this as a K-12 sort of configuration, and that all those steps should provide some continuity to what that should look like. So with that in mind, we're also talking about K-12 articulation across the board with all of our programming and not looking at things being so siloed. Elementary school being here, middle school here, and high school there. Those things, all that has to work together in order for our kids to build a program or be part of a program that's going to build for their futures. Obviously excited about the 9X impact myself. I can't wait to see that launch. The work that's being done is pretty incredible, exciting, and impressive, and hopefully we'll be able to make sure we have our infrastructure ready for that as well after we have a conversation later tonight. One other conversation we're having with our staff is revisiting our daily schedules at all levels so that we can maximize the time that we're using for instruction and providing teachers with opportunities to be creative in their planning and those types of things. There may be some changes down the road that we'll share with you at that point. We talked also tonight about social and emotional learning. That's a huge component of what we're trying to build for our future as well. That is a relatively new phenomenon in education over the past couple of years. I know my first year as a principal back in 1999, we didn't use the terms social and emotional learning. We said suck it up. It's a different configuration now, and it's important that we pay attention to those things because those pieces are far more important than test prep. If we can prep for tests all day long, but if our kids aren't mentally and emotionally supported to take care of business in the classroom, those results aren't going to be positive. Some things we have that may be coming down the pike for the distant future that we're talking about post 2020, so don't hold me to this for next year. We need to be planning for our financial future, what that will look like in 3 to 5 years. So we've started some conversation around that. Space allocation will be an issue and how we utilize our facilities. We'll be having those conversations. I'm excited to launch, to begin the conversations about what full-day kindergarten could look like for our community. We know that our brains are geared toward learning and attaining certain skills at certain points in our physiology, and I believe we're missing an important piece if we're not able to really fully encompass a program that allows us to meet our very youngest kids in the best way possible, which then jumps into the whole notion of improved and increased preschool experiences. So those are all conversations for down the road, not for next year, but for definitely down the road. I shared that with staff when we came back on January 2nd. I'm excited to not only work for the short term, but for the long term as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Superintendent. Looking forward to it. Any other comments? All right. Item 8.01, visitors that requested to address the board may do so at this time. There was no one previously scheduled. Did we get any speaker slips?
No, we did not.
All right, so we'll go ahead and move on to finance. Items 9.01, 02, and 03. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Barga. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Madam Treasurer?
A very short finance section tonight. On for approval are the December 31st financial statements. We have one appropriation modification for a grant that French Run received from the Columbus Foundation to equip classrooms with peace places and PD for the staff. We did have a few donations. Renee Coley donated funds for the Washington, D.C. trip. Mike and Sue Murphy for the school lunch program. Bill and Gail Miller, donation to the choir program, and Chamber Insurance for student art supplies. And that's all that I have.
Okay. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Quessenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Items 10.01, 02, 03, and 04 are up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Quisenberry. Any highlights, Mr. Superintendent?
Yes, a couple things I'd like to highlight. First, and I'll just go kind of down the list. I'm excited, again, planning for our future. Unfortunately, Ms. Miller, our treasurer, won't be here forever.
Yes, she will.
She's not going anywhere anytime soon, just so we want to make sure we understand that. But we also want to be in a position to craft a succession plan. We're excited to propose before you tonight for approval, sliding Patricia Heaton from her current position into the role of assistant treasurer and kind of being a treasurer in training, so to speak. And then she can speak the same language that Tammy does, which is not a language that I speak. And then we can plan for our future, but she's not going anywhere anytime soon. I also want to highlight, Trisha's here with us tonight. Sorry, Trisha. I also want to highlight and congratulate Don McLeod, who's going to be moving over to Wagner Road Middle School to lead that school after the departure of Mr. Chris Brooks, who's moving to the 9X Impact. I'm excited for her in that role and the hope she's excited as well. We met with both staffs at HS Squared and at Wagner Road Middle on Friday afternoon and discussed that change and received some feedback in that regard. I also am excited to have Kevin Smith take on some added responsibilities to be the interim principal for the rest of the school year at HS Squared STEM Academy. Also, one thing I want to highlight under our certified staff is our performance bonus awardees. Congratulations to those folks who've done a fantastic job in our classrooms, and we're excited to reward them for those for that work that they've done, that they do on a daily basis. So I wanted to highlight that as well.
All right. Thank you very much. Congratulations. You got big shoes to walk in, don't you? And my advice to you is learn how to do a Bitmoji. I'm just saying.
That helps. Moves.
Yeah.
I'm
so happy. You don't know this, but I think she's the master behind all of that. So she's got that skill down.
Trish makes me look good. Okay.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Quessenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Items 11.01 and 02 are on for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Quessenberry. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Seconded by Mr. Barga. I do believe we have a representative from the orchestra group that's here. If you want to go ahead and come on down and tell us a little bit about this and how we can get the Hamilton tickets. I mean, to tell us if we've got all of our insurance.
Well, we're trying something new. This is the first time we've had just the orchestra and Jason Gibson from the we have an hour time slot, and we're not multiplied, and then we're going to do something together.
Mr. Booth.
Official.
That was my thing. I'm like, guys, it's DC. But we didn't have enough to go, so we got the time since I came here in 2002 that we canceled the show.
Wow.
So I'm excited. I think people missed it and realized that, and I think they're going to go. And because, yes, we are getting canceled some tickets, I'm hoping that will help bump up the numbers, and the higher the numbers, the lower the price.
And everything, all the insurance and all of that stuff will be. Any other questions, comments? All right. Thank you very much. Oh, I'm sure you won't have a shortage of those this time. Item 11.02 is the high school program of studies. Mr. Superintendent, you just want to give a brief review of everything that we do every year?
Yeah, I want to give some kudos to Dr. Cosgrave, who worked with her team to put this together. Typically, the program of studies has been coming to you over the past few years, typically sometime in later in the spring. After kids have already registered for courses. So we wanted to actually put something in place that said, as colleges do, to say these are the courses that are available to you to get that approved much earlier. There will still be some modifications as we go forward. However, as we add capacity with different programming, expansion of programs, some arts things we want to try to do, but this is will give us at least an opportunity to begin scheduling classes with a program of study already done.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
And I might add, it's gorgeous.
I do have one question, and this actually was brought to my attention on Sunday, which is why I haven't sent this forward. Specifically in the senior fees, there was some discussion about historic fees, where the senior fee, what they get for it, necessarily what it includes, additional cap and gowns, that sort of dynamics. Can we expand a little on the senior fees, what benefits come from that as opposed to other fees, and why we have those?
Senior fees essentially pays for graduation, for all those pieces that they end up getting associated with graduation, cap, gown, mm-hmm. the whole nine, helps us get the facility, things of that nature. Senior fee of 55 is actually fairly small in comparison to most school districts, so it's a pretty modest fee in that regard, but that's essentially what that entails.
Thank you.
I would, yeah.
Oh, well, my apologies.
But it's their diploma, uh-huh. Schottenstein Center, their parking.
My apologies. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I would also.
I just had to pay for that.
From previous years, I believe that this actually does not quite cover our costs, or maybe so.
Not quite.
Is that true? Yeah. Okay.
So any additional fee from, say, previous time in the school is most likely due to inflation and costs, correct?
Probably so. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments, discussion points? All right. Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, let's go ahead and take care of 11.01 and 02.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Item 11.03 is educational travel proposal for Summit Road STEM Elementary, their annual 4-H trip. Do we have anyone from Summit Elementary? Of course we do. Come on down.
This has become a tradition for Summit. They've done it for the past 7 years. This will be the eighth year where the fourth graders do an overnight trip to 4-H Camp Ohio. And this year we would like to go on May 13th through the 14th. And the students engage in a lot of outdoor learning. Some get the experience of actually leaving, you know, civilization for a few days, for the day, and kind of seeing what it's like out at in camp setting. And we do some teamwork and collaboration. It's kind of a, it's a nice sort of capstone to their time at Summit Elementary. So we're looking to do that field trip again this year for one night.
Sounds exciting. Again, all
good time.
All the usuals, the insurance, and all of that stuff taken care of. I figured as much. No insurance needed? Cool.
Oh.
All right.
Is there fees?
There is. It's $45. It's been that in the past. And we, you know, any students who can't afford that, we do work with them to make sure that every student can go. So.
Right. Any other discussion?
How many students do you usually have attend? Because obviously you have one for every 10 students, so it won't be a complete grouping of the fourth graders. But what percentage do you know of?
Not, I mean, I don't exactly know. I know in the past, from the years that I've taught there, we've had maybe, usually all 100 students will go. There might be one or two for various reasons, but majority of the class ends up going.
Thank you.
And we usually get more chaperones. We have a lot of parent chaperones that we go through the fingerprinting process, and we end up having, it usually ends up being, the ratio is a lot lower than that at the camp when we get all the parents situated and get that figured out.
Anything else? All right. We're looking forward to hearing about it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to policies that we talked about last year. Items 12.01, 02, 03, and 04 are up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Quisenberry. Any discussion about any of these items? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Quessenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Items 13.01, 2, and 3 are up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Barga. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Dunlap. Any discussion? Mr. Reed, do you want to share with any interesting things going on?
13.01 and 03, I'll touch first. 01, we do not transport any Patriot Preparatory Academy students. We do payment in lieu. And in regards to surplus items, it is three very old kitchen items that I laid eyes on, and they are very, very old. So no chance to fix.
Okay.
Chris, could you say again, what did you say about Patriot?
We don't transport their students. We do payment in lieu.
Okay.
But they will be transporting in the future.
Okay.
If approved.
Any other questions or comments?
On those two or also on 13.02 now?
I can talk about 13.02 if we're at that point.
Is there any other comments about 1 and 3? If not, let's go ahead and take it away for item 13.02.
I think what I'll do is I'll talk a little bit about where we are from a resolution standpoint and process, and I'll have Vicki kind of talk more about the process that Shore Architects has taken in the past, and we'll move forward. This resolution that's up for approval is slightly different than the one we put on earlier. Through much discussion with our legal counsel, and a conference call between legal counsel and Shore Architects, we've even looked at expediting this process even more. When a district waives competitive bidding based on urgent necessity, it really opens up the door to doing whatever the board feels necessary to get this done. So I briefly want to describe what you'll see in the very last section of the resolution, which I'll just go ahead and pull that up.
Thank you.
Which, of course, it's going to be, okay. Essentially, what's happening is, and Vicki can talk about this more, Shore Architects will be selecting a general contractor to do the project. That will not be competitively bid. That's going to save us about 3 weeks. The general contractor will then be bidding out the work to the other contractors, which would be done as part of a competitive bid process, we're just skipping step one. The reason why we're taking this path is Shore Architects has worked with this company at length. They are very reliable. They are very good with getting things done on time. And they can come alongside, if this is approved, they can come alongside Shore Architects as early as tomorrow and assist in completion of any drawings and whatnot, so that come the February board meeting, or at latest a special board meeting at the end of February, we will have a contract that maps out everything, the entire cost, and we'll be able to hit the ground running come early March at latest. So obviously we also have Vicki here, but are there any questions about that?
So in bypassing the competitive bid process, of course, that that needs to be done with caution and care. So you've explained why we need to do it, and you've explained some of the precautions for not letting this get out of hand. You say it's a company that's reputable, has a good reputation for getting things done on time. Is there anything else that we should know as reassuring reasons why this is not something that we'll come to regret after we do it?
And Vicki can possibly speak to this a little bit better, because again, they've done this before. But part of this last section is that it needs to be an acceptable amount. And that's something that the architectural firm does on even our public bids, that there's an estimate. And if it's too far above that estimate, we can't accept a bid. So this will all be done within a very acceptable amount, total cost. So from a cost standpoint, I feel that we won't be paying any more money. But for me, what's more important is, if this is not ready by the start of school, then it's failed. So I want it to not only be done in time, but truly done. Punch items done, everything done. As opposed to, there's a little bit here and there that still needs to be done. This will help alleviate that problem.
All right, thank you.
Vicki, I think that you spoke to that, exactly what Chris is talking about. In our committee meeting, and there were two things that I felt were so important when I wrote down, and maybe you can elaborate that, elaborate on that for everyone. But number one, it has been 30 years experience, Shore Architects has been around, and you told me that, or told all of us, that you have seen this happen in other districts as well. And then just number two, that you really didn't feel, and I think you even said there's been some data collected, that this does not generally add to the cost of a project.
Well, I do want to clarify that. There is absolutely no guarantee that you in reality can have a slight premium about doing it through this process, but it would be the same type of premium that you would have when we discuss a formal CMR process, when you bring it's a construction manager managed projects, where you would go out, you would collect formal proposals from construction managers that would then manage the projects. They, under those provisions under the state of Ohio, would then be subbing out the work and collecting bids upon that. And there's a point in which in the process, when you're going through a CMR process, that the contractor is going to submit a formal bid off of the documents that we are preparing. So in that instance, you would have interviewed several contractors to begin with who submitted a proposal, but there's no price discussed at that particular time. You're selecting those contractors based upon their past performance and merit. Mm-hmm. So and in this instance, because you're declaring an emergency, you can go about this basically three ways. First, I want to clarify, you could simply publicly bid the project, as we have done in the past. What you risk is exactly what happened for the work that was proposed last summer. There's a good percentage of work available for contractors. There were initially only two contractors that had an interest in doing that project. In the end, only one contractor submitted that bid, and it happened to be a contractor that you previously had a track record with of not finishing work on time. We equally had the same experience on several projects that they had worked on from projects for our office as well. You can go through this process, and you can still solicit proposals for more than one contractor, but you're also at risk at ending up with the same bidding timeline that you would have if you publicly bid it. If you select one particular contractor, they can be brought on very quickly, and as Chris said, almost immediately. We do have a particular contractor in mind that we've had a good track record with. We know that they are available to reform this project and have the resources and time to get it done and finished within the time frame there. When they're brought on sooner, you would still not enter a formal contract until there was a formal bid from them in place. So you would still have the opportunity to reject that, is my understanding. So basically that contractor would be working without fee and coming to our meetings. They can put input on, start talking about scheduling and things down the road that you'll be facing, can make some value engineering suggestions, if I explain that correctly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And you had said, too, that as an architectural firm, you appreciate being able to be involved in this process with a general contractor a little bit earlier rather than later.
I do very much. So especially if you have contractors that you can work with well, I think it builds a great team. I think it becomes a win-win situation for both you as the owner and for us as the architect that's working on those projects, yes. Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about this timeline, we're still only talking about finishing up still, what, a week before, 2 weeks before the staff comes back?
That's right? The things that's at biggest risk for this project is the schedule. As we discussed at the building and grounds meeting, there are materials and items that are being brought on this project that are going to have long lead times, meaning they have a long time before the products are delivered once they're ordered, even for the contractors. So the casework or the cabinetry that will go in the classrooms, it has a long lead time. The elevator replacement, even with that, is probably going to have to push within the school year. Having a good contractor on board will help coordinate some of those scheduling issues that we are going to face.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, just not a lot of wiggle room.
The elevator replacement will be a little more complex. It's something that needs to happen, so that might not be done by the time school starts, but just because of how complex that is. It's hard for us to get that elevator serviced because it is so old. So a total replacement is necessary. I see that as the only thing that would not be done by day one of school.
And I'm happy to share the contractor we had discussed this project with, if that's helpful to
sure.
you. Or if you had questions, I'm happy to answer it.
Okay. Question. So an abbreviation that I had to have you explain to me in the buildings and grounds meeting, and I just had to page back and see what it was again, is CMR. You mentioned it, and you explained that as contractor managed risk.
It's construction manager at risk, yes.
And that's what you were saying about how, you know, we might not have accepted their contract yet, but yet they'll still be doing some consultation. Is that what that refers to?
This process is slightly different than a full CMR process with the state of Ohio. So with the state of Ohio, you would accept the proposal in the CMR process and hire that particular construction manager, and a contract would be put in place. The dollar amount that they're going to bid for the project would come farther down the line. when you would get to see that. And we do cost estimating at the same time. The contractor does cost estimating so that we have to be in agreement with each other and that we're in agreement with their estimate as we look at it at the same time.
Okay.
In this process, you wouldn't have a formal contract in place with that contract that would make a suggestion to you until they had a number in place. So that's what I was saying. You would still have the opportunity, even if you didn't solicit multiple proposals from multiple contractors and you only sought one contractor, you would still have the point to accept or reject that proposal based on the estimate that they would submit. And then at that time is when you would have a formal written contract. So there's a risk for that contractor, if they wish to be involved in this process, that they are putting work and forward on this project without a guarantee of ultimately getting it.
Okay. And one benefit that you mentioned in the meeting that I think is good is where there's one contractor in charge of everything, there's less mm-hmm. opportunity for various contractors to say, well, I wasn't supposed to do that. I was only supposed to do this, you know. So that's a benefit I see. But I had a question about the elevator. Mr. Reed, is the elevator serviceable right now?
It works.
Okay.
It's I don't know the exact terminology behind it, but it's troublesome.
Okay. So, if that needs to be done, a little bit into the school year, what are we actually going to do about some freshmen who, can't take the stairs and the elevator's not working?
That's a good question. We do have, and I forget the exact term, we do have the assist chairs that can be used.
Okay.
That's not uncommon.
Like the ones that ascend up the stairs like that?
Ascend and descend, yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you got to have both. Okay.
Yes. It's the same one, but yes.
Okay. All right, thank you.
So tonight we would just be looking at declaring urgent necessity, but not, we would come back for a special board meeting if we so choose to go this route to choose a general contractor and prove that.
Correct.
Anybody else have any questions?
I do if you guys are ready to go. Okay. These are going to be very detailed, and there's a reason for this based on the case law. When this came up, I went through Anderson myself, and because of the timing, I have no desire to send this back to legal. It needs to be done soon, it needs to be done quickly, and it would screw over the students if we don't. So the question becomes, how do we appease my concerns with it, which is going to be to ask these detailed questions, and for any court that could ever hear upon this, this is my rationale for vote. So the questions are, Mr. Reed, are you positive that unless we were to make this an emergency, we would be coding it too close for any level of comfort to the start of the school year?
Yes.
If we do not do this, is there any possibility that we would be able to pull it off by that time?
If we don't do this?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Absolutely zero?
Absolutely zero.
Perfect. Okay. Is this in any way related to something that could have been fixed at a previous point of time, or is this because at this point we have established what our plan is and now we are forced into this?
I wouldn't say forced, but I think that it was discussed earlier that the 9X impact and where it was going to be housed has changed. Mm-hmm. And I think that what we landed on with the utilizing the second floor is the best situation for it. So that kind of did away with some of the work that Shore Architects had already done with a previous idea or a previous plan. So I don't know if I would use the word forced, but I'm not the...
A novel issue or novel idea arose which brought this to our attention after a time we could have previously fixed it.
Correct.
Okay. Is there any security or protection issue at play here? In general, are we doing this in any way for a security reason, or is this entirely related to academic?
Academic.
Okay. And operations.
Interesting.
Operations meaning exiting kids one way or the other. Order.
Good answer. I like that one.
Yeah, that's, okay. I know.
The final question within this is there any scenario where this actually harms us in terms of the limited number of competition for the project, in terms of any delays, unusual patterns, building delays, requests, the standard architecture things that you always fight over at the end of a project?
I don't think so, no.
Perfect. For the reasons that were just entered into the record, I believe that pursuant to 331346A, as well as Anderson Section 6.23, it's clearly an urgent necessity. There is no possible delay. There is no possible way to approach this in any other dynamic. I believe that it is in good faith because it is a novel issue. I believe that there is absolutely no fraud because, as far as I know, nobody has a contract here. And I do not believe that this is in any way an abuse of our discretion. So for those reasons, when we do vote, I will be voting for it.
Mr. Berg, I want to express my appreciation for you casting your lawyer's eye and kind of putting in these precise terms the kind of questions I was trying to get at but didn't quite have the right words for it. So thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. And back at it again, 14.01, executive session on a different matter. Do I have a motion?
No move.
Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Questenberry. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. We will be back. All right. I'd like to call back to order. We have returned at 9:16 p.m. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga?
Present.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Here.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Here.
Mr. Whitman?
Here.
Mr. Begany?
Here. After executive session, are there any motions?
Yes. I move to award Treasurer Tammy Miller a bonus of 6.9% on the base salary as approved in her contract for the 2018-2019 school year in recognition of her achievement on her board-approved performance objectives per Section G of her contract.
There's a motion on the table. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Dunlap. Any other discussion?
Well earned.
Thank you.
Very much
yes.
So.
Thank you very
absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely.
All right. If there's no other discussion, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. I've motioned to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Questenberry. Any discussion?
I'm sorry, who got the
I motioned
first?
It.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm jumping right to it. Yep.
Mr. Begany?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
I had 8:45 at the...